You're listening to the Save the Marriage Podcast. Your marriage can be saved and strengthened if you have the right information. Join Dr. Lee Baucom as he explores ways for you to improve your relationship and your life, starting right now.
Hey, this is Lee Baucom, and you're on the Save the Marriage Podcast. I'm glad you're here. Thankful for you being here, and that brings me to an interesting point. We're on the cusp of a holiday week. And that holiday week is all about Thanksgiving, giving thanks. So I thought it might be a good time to talk about how that might fit into your marriage. First, I want to tell you about a couple that came into my office a while back, and they began to tell their story. And what I noticed is that each one kept telling me the same story over and over. I deserve better than this. I deserve to be treated differently than this. I don't deserve to be treated this way. I can't believe he does this. I can't believe she does this to me. Why am I being treated this way? Have you noticed a theme to their explanations? They're all about being a victim. And so they continued on and on for week after week after week. I could not get them to change gears. And so finally I said, I don't think you guys want to get along. And they said, of course we do. We're here to talk with you. And I said, I don't believe it because I don't see you making any shift. Can we do something different for this next 1 week? So they agreed to a little experiment. My experiment was for each of them to write a thank you note. It only had to be 4 lines long, but each one was to write a thank you note to the other person every single day. And the thank you note was this. I am thankful that you do this, or I am thankful for how you are this way. I am thankful for fill in the blank. I appreciate that because they had to give a reason why they were thankful. In the next sentence, they would say, my life would be different if you weren't this way because, and they had to note the negative effect of that not being there. And then they had to finish with one more sentence of, so thank you for blank. That was it. Those were the lines that I wanted them to do every single day. I gave them a formula of how to do it. So the next week when they came in, I noticed that they had made a shift. They both were a little more warm. Not everything was fixed, but they were a little bit more warm. And what both of them realized was, A, they had many things for which they were thankful in the other person, and B, that they were appreciated in ways that they didn't expect. Which brings me to an interesting point about gratitude. Gratitude is the language of connection and friendship. And what often happens in marriages that are under stress is that the marriage ends up being, instead of a place of gratitude, it's a place of criticism. As you can imagine, criticism is not the language of connection, but of disconnection. And so if we put those at polar ends, that there's the language of gratitude and there's the language of criticism, we have to begin to ask, where do couples tend to live? So let's talk about some about gratitude. Gratitude is not about indebtedness of what do you owe somebody else. In fact, that's almost the antithesis. Whenever we're talking about how I owe somebody something, it's not about gratitude. It's about a victim mentality. So gratitude is not about an indebtedness, but a sense of appreciation, of being thankful and appreciating something about the other person. Now, gratitude is a state of mind. It's inward. You may never express it, but you may feel it. What I gave this couple to do was an exercise in taking the internal and making it external. The problem in a couple situation is that we often have things for which we are thankful, but which we don't express because it's drowned out by that for which we want, that for which we feel like we lack. And whenever we get to a place of lack, whenever we get to a place of entitlement or deservedness, which is, by the way, linked to lacking, then we move away from gratitude and we move towards criticism. We move towards what we are wanting to have, not what we're thankful for having, and that makes the big shift. There's been a lot of research lately on the power of gratitude. Positive psychology has brought in a lot of research on the higher emotions, where in the past we did a lot of research on depression and anxiety and negative things. Now we're doing research on positive things. What's the effect of being positive? What's the effect of being thankful? What's the effect of looking for the higher things? And so we know the power of gratitude. It affects us emotionally. Those who are grateful tend to suffer from less anxiety and less depression long term. Those who are grateful tend to suffer less when they have chronic pain situations. They suffer. It's not that they don't have pain, but they suffer less from the pain. They've even done research that shows that people after a first heart attack that practice some practices of gratitude actually lower the chances of having a future heart attack. Think about that. The way we are thinking in our heads is affecting our physical body in profound ways. The way we are thinking in our heads also affects our outlook in the world around us, what we're expecting in the world around us. That's what happened with the couple. They begin to have a different outlook when they began to practice gratitude. They begin to have an outlook that was looking for, what am I grateful for? Because you see, my job was to get them to not just come up with one thing or come up with five things in a row, but each day to write down something for which they were thankful and then admit it to the other person. There are a lot of times when we are in intimate relationships when we stop telling someone that for which we are thankful. We stop telling them that we're thankful for this, or we're thankful for how they did this. We stop even if we think it. So I wanted to not only get them to think about it, which was a shift for them, but also to share it, which was a shift for the relationship. See, that's the power of that connection. It's also the power of being focused on gratitude. Now, here's what happened with that couple. When they realized what was happening, they began to make this a daily practice that they continued. When I bumped into them 2 years later, after we had finished talking, they still were coming up with little things for which they were grateful. Now, sometimes it was a subset of something they had already said. You know, I noticed that about you, and this little piece of it is what I'm thankful for today. And so sometimes it was harder and harder to come up with lots of big things, but they found the little things. And when they did that, they nurtured an attitude of gratitude. They nurtured their capacity of looking for that. When you do that, you are literally rewiring your brain. Dr. Robert Emmons wrote, "Thanks, How the Science of Gratitude Can Make You Happier." And what he said was, without gratitude, life can be lonely, depressing, and impoverished. Gratitude enriches human life. It elevates, energizes, inspires, and transforms. People are moved, opened, and humbled through expressions of gratitude. Now, cultivating that attitude can be tough. But according to Emmons, you use that as a chosen attitude. You have to be willing to recognize and acknowledge that we are often the recipients of unearned benefits from the world, from our spouse, from those around us. And that's the nature of gratitude. To be able to say, you know, I don't deserve this in my life. I'm just fortunate to have it there. I'm thankful that it's there, is a different place than you owe me. Emmons' research indicates that gratitude's not just a positive emotion. It also improves your health if you cultivate it. People have to give up their victim mentality, and they have to overcome a sense of entitlement and deservedness to make the shift to gratitude. So let's talk about some ways you can do that inwardly, and then you can decide how you might take that into your relationship. One way you can do that is with an exercise. This exercise is not my exercise. It's got clinical studies behind it, but Jacqueline Kelm, who wrote The Joy of Appreciative Living, created an exercise, really three pieces, that can be done easily and can transform your life and potentially your relationship. So here are the steps. There are three. The first one is daily. Write down three things and be specific about them for which you are grateful. Three things each day. You can do it in the morning or in the evening, and it all depends on kind of your approach. If you're one of those that likes to start your day kind of reflectively, then write them down in the morning. If you'd rather reflect in the evening about your day, do that. But find three things for which you are thankful. Now, I've got to warn you, you've got to be specific, because I'm going to ask you to keep finding different ones to do each day, or at least more nuanced ones each day. So you can't just say, well, I'm thankful for my kids, I'm thankful for my house, I'm thankful that we're warm and can eat. You know, you can't use that kind of approach, because that's day one. So what do you do day two? You've got to be specific. You've got to look for small things. And you do that in your daily life. Because what it does is that begins to have you create an outlook. You're looking for the things for which you can be appreciative, for which you can be thankful, for which you can show your gratitude. You have to begin to look for that specifically if you're going to write them down every day. The second thing you do is you pick one thing you could do to improve your life. Just write down one thing you could do to improve your life. This doesn't have to be a huge thing. It's not like I've got to change my career or I want to move to a different place. It could be I'm going to repair the hinge on the cabinet. Or I'm going to polish my shoes because I like it better when it's polished. Or I'm going to clean the dog snot off the windows. I mean, there are lots of small things you might be able to do. Now, notice this. I didn't say you had to do them. I just said you had to write them down and describe them. The power of this is looking at how you have control over your life, not about doing all the things. But it's very hard to resist when you come up with your list of very specific things that you could do. It begins to be hard not to do them. Okay, so that's on a daily basis. So right now you have two exercises on a daily basis. One is to write three things for which you are thankful, and one thing that you could do to improve your life. Small thing. Number three is once a week, for 10 minutes, write about your ideal life. But write about it as if it is happening, not I wish I could. But write it as I am. I am living in a beautiful house, overlooking beautiful scenery, and surrounded by things that I love. It doesn't have to be something that's going on now. It's what your ideal life would be. And you write it as if it's happening in detail. When you get to the end of 10 minutes, I don't care if you're in the middle of a sentence, you stop writing. You come back to it next week, or you pick another phase of life that you want to talk about, another area. It might be work. One might be about your house, activities you do. There are lots of ways that could look, but you just write down your ideal life, because what that does is it begins to help you imagine a higher place, a different place to be. You vibrate differently around writing about your ideal life. If writing your ideal life does not excite you at all, does not give you some kind of a charge, you're not writing about your ideal life. You're writing about what you think your ideal life should be. And remember, this is not about I deserve this. Why can't I have this? I wish I had this. It's I am blank. Fill in your ideal life. That's 10 minutes. So as you notice, we're not talking about huge things. Each day you spend a few minutes writing about your what makes you thankful, one thing you could do to change you to improve your life. And then 10 minutes on your ideal life once a week. That's it. Now, if you're not ready to even commit to that, let me make it even a little easier. Emmons did his research getting people to write down once per week five things for which they are thankful, just once a week, and it showed clinical evidence. The clinical evidence is multiplied when you do the steps that I talked about from Kelm's book, where you write down the three things on a daily basis for which you're thankful, the one thing which you could do to improve your life, and then 10-minute writing exercises once per week on your ideal life. That has a lot more power, but that's not necessary. It just adds to it. At least begin to think about the five things once a week for which you are thankful. Okay, now the problem is that we have habits of thought, right? Have habits that we kind of naturally fall into. If you think about your brain as having neuronal paths, habits are neuronal paths that just make it easier, shortcuts in moving through life. Unfortunately, not all of our shortcuts help us. So we naturally fall into thought patterns. And one of those thought patterns may be about not being appreciative. So we have to remind ourselves to do a rewiring. We're trying to create new paths and new habits of our thought process. And so one way to do that is to create some visual reminders, to remind yourself to be looking for that. So you might put up post-it notes on your desk or on your computer or have a reminder on your phone that pops up every now and then. Or you may decide that every time the phone rings, you're going to think about something that you're thankful for. Now, you don't have to come up with something new every time the phone rings. You might have that list in front of you, you know, what it is that day or what it was the day before. And just reflect on that and really feel that. Really feel the gratitude of that. When you do that, you're creating new pathways. You're creating new understandings of yourself and how you have new outlooks. Because the last piece of this is you've got to change your self-talk. One of the places that we really get stuck that keeps us away from this place of gratitude is what we tell ourselves. Think about commercials. How many times have you heard, "You deserve"? Remember that from McDonald's, "You deserve a break today"? There's so many examples in advertising about what you deserve. And when we're working from, "I deserve this," if we don't have that, then what we get to is of being a victim, of wondering, "Why don't I have this?" Think about that in your relationship. How much time is spent going, "I don't have what I deserve. This is not fair." And this is where we begin to see the back and forth of how this builds on itself. Remember the couple that wrote their letters? One of the things that they began to go between them is that sense of gratitude that builds on itself. Gratitude is a magic lubricant in relationships. It helps us to feel connected and feel appreciated when we offer it to the other person. So right now, even if it doesn't come back your way, to be able to work in that direction can begin to unjar the relationship, can begin to loosen up the relationship a bit and let you move to a different place. So you think about what you're grateful for, and even if all it does is it changes your internal place, that changes how you act in the relationship. More powerful is to share it, to let your spouse know what you're thankful about. Now, don't be just kind of, you know, out of the blue naming all of the ways that you're thankful. So you might try just writing a note every now and then or just pointing out that you're thankful for something and see if that doesn't change the tone. Now, if you haven't been appreciative of each other, this is going to come as a bit of a surprise, and you're going to have to work through that when the spouse says, "Hey, what gives? What are you doing? How are you trying to fool me here? What's up?" But you keep moving that. Just say, "You know what? I'm just trying to be a little more appreciative of my life." So this is a good time to do that because Thanksgiving gives us an excuse to do it. We are giving thanks as a country. Now, part of my frustration is that part of how we've bookmarked Thanksgiving is it's the beginning of a shopping craze. And now we've even moved it on to the day. And it's just like us in this country to take something that gives us an opportunity just to pause a minute and think about what we're grateful for, to shift over and suddenly be thinking about what we don't have, what we need to get, what we need and deserve to have. And so we have to be careful in our culture that we attend to the things that are positive and pull us towards higher places about being thankful, about having gratitude, about how that pulls in more in your life than the desperation to get to the store or to get to something else, which leads us to how we deserve something different, how we're not getting what we deserve and we deserve it. So just for a moment, ponder how this dynamic fits in your relationship. Do you find yourself working from a place of lack of something that you're owed, or do you find yourself working from a place of gratitude, of that for which you're thankful? Notice that nobody has everything that they want. And so we find the places that fulfill us. Now, this is not a lecture on you've got to accept what you have. This is a discussion on be thankful for what you have. And being thankful may just move you towards getting better stuff, may just move you towards a more warm, nurturing, connecting relationship. If you're stuck on the fact that it's disconnected and the fact that your spouse doesn't do what you want and your spouse isn't showing appreciation, it's only going to build on itself. But what if you focus on what you can be grateful for? What if that were to expand? What if the number of things for which you could be grateful, not only do you notice more, but there's more of it because there's more connection? That's the power of gratitude. if we choose to tap into it. So let me give you a little challenge. Try the experiment, either one, for a month and see if it makes any shifts in your life. So for the next month, commit that for once a week, you're going to write down five things that you're thankful for. At a bare minimum, do that. Once a month. That's only four times. But to optimize it, let's go with the more difficult. Three things for which you're thankful each day, one thing you could do to improve your life, and 10 minutes per week that you're going to write about your ideal life. So that's really 10 minutes only four times, right? And then you're only agreeing to 30 times sitting down and writing down those three things for which you're thankful and one thing you could do to improve your life. Try it for a month. Let's see what happens at the end of the month. And what I would like for you to do is commit to that. Just make a comment underneath and say, hey, I've committed to this, or send an email to podcast@savethemarriage.com and just say, I've committed to this, because one of the cool things about that is you make a public pronouncement that you're going to do this. You're much more likely to follow through. If you choose to write a note, you might even say, hey, I'm even going to write a note. I'm even going to tell people about it. Not just your spouse. You might find other people that you're going to show that to. But find some ways of activating this and letting others know about that. Leave yourself some reminders, some places where you say, oh, yes, this is what I'm doing, and leave it those around so you stay on track. The problem is that sometimes we let those old habits get in our way of finding something new. Don't let that happen. Take advantage of the fact that we are about to enter a season of being full of thanks, of giving thanks. And when that happens, we have new possibilities. We can find new ways of doing that. Now, I wish you the best for your Giving Thanks Day, Thanksgiving. I wish you well in your relationship. Let us know what else you would like to hear about. Send me an email at podcast@savethemarriage.com. If you're listening to this from iTunes, you can get to the blog and leave a comment just by typing in SaveTheMarriageBlog.com. That's SaveTheMarriageBlog.com. That'll take you right to the blog. You can leave comments. Let us know there or by email other things that you would like to hear about. Love to have comments there. I usually answer them. Or you can just email at podcast@SaveTheMarriage.com. I wish you the best. This is Lee Balcom in your corner as you work to be more thankful for what you do have in your life and as you work to save your marriage.
You've been listening to Save the Marriage Podcast. For more information and help, please visit us at SaveTheMarriage.com.